Hello, my name is William Cueto, and welcome to Builders of Hope, a show about young Catholic professionals who are living out their faith in all aspects of their lives, their family lives, their social lives, and their careers. Growing in the spiritual life is not just for priests and nuns. It's for all of us, as you will see through the lives of our guests who are striving to live out their faith and build a better world. Carlos Brito is a 22-year-old student working part-time and will talk to us about how he incorporates his faith into his day-to-day life. In today's culture, we are seeing biomedical stem cell research being done on aborted babies in order for handicapped persons to walk again. Carlos will speak to us about his view on the subject.
Willie, I'm currently taking some, I'm going to school for computers. My interest now is computers. More or less undecided on what I want to do.
One thing that we'd like to find out is a little bit about where you're focusing in your career right now and which way you want to take it.
Willie, I once worked in a gym, in a health club, and I thought that working in a gym, helping people be healthy, getting on an exercise program to live happier lives is something that I wanted to pursue. I did that for a while, and just after a year, year and a half of being in the gym environment, I realized that that's not what I wanted to do.
One thing that we'd like to get to know a little bit about is your family background, a little bit about your career, about everything that you do. If you can start off by telling us a little bit about your family.
Willie, I came here to this country from Cuba in the 1980s. I was born in Havana, Cuba. I came to the United States, I was 2 years old. When I first came to the United States, after like a year of living in Miami, I was a baby, I don't remember. This is from stories that my grandma tells me. My parents were murdered. They were robbed and murdered, and they were both killed.
How old were you?
I was two years old when I got to this country. When my parents were killed, I was 3 years old.
So you never got to grow up with them, you never got to meet them, obviously.
No, I never got to meet my parents. And it was really difficult to grow up, going to school without parents, not having the guidance that I needed. Like everyone else, you know, everyone's used to having parents, coming home, seeing their parents. I never had any of that. So life was really hard for me ever since I was a little baby, 3 years old.
So who raised you then?
My grandmother raised me. My grandmother and my grandfather raised me since I was 3 years old. And then my grandmother, you know how Cuban grandmothers are. You know, that old cultural way of raising kids. And my grandmother did a really good job at raising me. She gave me really close to the spiritual, to God. She always told me to have a lot of faith. And that's something that I've had since I'm a baby, ever since I was a little kid. I remember I was a little kid and I would always just pray to God. I was the only kid in elementary school praying to God, saying Papa Dio,
right,
since I was a kid.
And did you have any other mentors or any other people who played a role in raising you? Friends of the family, uncles, anything like that?
I had an uncle. I still have an uncle. I had an uncle ever since I was small, who was my dad's best friend. And he used to always take us fishing, and he would always form me into a man. He would try to raise me as best as he can and give me the best opinion, the best advice that he can ever give me.
And is it just you, or do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have a little brother that's 1 year younger than me, and an amazing person, my little brother. We live together now, and I'm sure glad to have a brother. I mean, it would have been much harder to lose your parents when you come to this country.
You did,
and
together.
Be left alone.
You grew up together.
Exactly.
Helping
right.
each other out with that challenge that both of you had. And it made it that much more difficult, I guess, for your grandmother, having to raise two of you like that.
Yep.
So then even without having your parents and having, you know, those challenges, you've obviously worked your way up to, you know, do the things that you've been doing in life. And I understand from what you told me before that you've been engaged in the career of sales, and you've held several sales positions. You've liked that. Tell me a little bit about that experience.
My first job was in a gym, in a health club. I wanted to help people. I wanted to help people be happy. I tried the gym for like about a year. Okay? At the end of the year, I came to the conclusion that that line of work wasn't for me. I went to medical sales. I wanted to help people that were in my same position or a little worse off than I am. Did that for like about a year. Realized I didn't want to do that anymore either. I'm currently going to school for computers. That's something that's really interesting, has me interested in.
And why are you interested in that?
I'm sorry?
Why are you interested in the computer field?
Because I know that the computer, internet, everything's online, is just, it's becoming huge. And I'm hoping that in some way, I'm going to be able to help people like I want to, through the computer world, you know, because the computer has like its own little world, you know, internet, online.
And like many other young people, 22 years old, a lot of young people at that age, they don't know exactly what they want yet, but they're getting their schooling and they're focusing in more and more on their careers. Some at 22 may be pretty focused, but most, they're trying out different fields, and that's something that you've been doing and experiencing in different areas. From what you're telling us is in each one of those fields, you have tried to use it in a way to help people out, you know, whether it be in a gym or whether it be, you know, the medical sales and some of the other things that you had mentioned before you did a little bit of, and now you want to do it in computers.
That's right.
You know, and you're saying help people. What is it that makes you want to help people with it? Most people say, I want to work, make money, and, you know, I want a job that's going to make me a lot of money so that I can get the things that I want to live a comfortable life. But not hearing that from you, what is it, or why is it that you're not focusing in so much on just the surface and you actually want to go a little deeper and really do things with your career?
Willie, I want to help people because God has helped me in such an amazing way. That one way that I will be able to pay him back is through helping other people. There's nothing more fulfilling, nothing that makes me happier than putting a smile on somebody else's face.
I myself have seen what you're talking about, you know, because I met you when I went to sign up at the gym that was near my work, and you were the one selling the gym memberships, and you were very enthusiastic, and you were there trying to help people. And one of the things that I saw you doing was helping everybody in the gym and helping people to work out, and you were working out there yourself, and you had this incredible enthusiasm about life and a lot of energy. And at the same time, you know, we were talking about different things. You also brought up in the sale your faith in God, which is something I didn't expect to hear from a young person, you know, and in the sales process. So you were even evangelizing and using your job to reach out to people. And I was very impressed by that. So I can testify myself to what you're talking about and how you've used your job. One of the things I was also impressed by is the fact that you were in a wheelchair. And with everything that you've already told us so far, another challenge that you've had in life and continue to have is living in a wheelchair. Can you tell us a little bit about how that happened and the way you've explained it to me before, the role that God played in that whole thing?
When I was 15, I remember falling out of track. From being someone who studies, goes to school, plays sports, exercises, beginning to get attracted to the cool cars, going out to parties, being Mr. Popular, having all the girls. And I really began to get lost in this world because of that side of the world. I wasn't as focused as I usually was. Which, again, this can happen to anyone. Anyone at such a young, early age, 15 years old, can lose track like that because there are so many things out there in the world that attract you and attract your attention. And it's really hard for a 15-year-old kid not having parents who tell me, do this, to not fall into that trap of the world, okay? I met a certain crowd of people, which happens to anyone, and I really lost control of my life. All through that time that I was lost in life, really, I remember, I knew that God was always there, and all I ever did was pray. I remember being lost and telling God, Lord, I'm lost, help me. Me being such an active person, one of the things that what I used to fear the most in this world was ever not being able to move like I do or like I did before, such an active person playing sports, to being confined to a wheelchair, that was my worst fear before my accident. I remember once praying to God and telling God that if he had to do whatever had to be done in order to get me out of that lifestyle that I was living. I was once, I went out one night with some cool friends, with some friends that had cool cars. And we were just out eating. We went to the beach, drinking a little. And when that night, before that night was over, I remember getting in the car, about to go home to get dropped off. And the driver of the car that I was in began to race with another car, with another vehicle. And going really fast, and I was really scared. I was in the back of a Corvette going I don't know how fast. And I remember I felt this incredible feeling, like God telling me, Carlos, you know, I'm answering your prayers. And I just, everything just went by my mind. Everything was like a big flash. So many things happening. Going home, going super fast in a car, about to get off a certain street here in Miami, I saw my life flash before my eyes. And that's when I got in my accident. And I woke up a month later from being in a coma in a hospital.
And then ever since then, you know, you've been contained in the wheelchair. And yet, you know, what I've seen, you know, coming to know you much later, is a young man, very much situated like other, you know, young guys at your age, you know, and, you know, being in the environment that you are with all the attractions that you were speaking about before, but you're working, you know, you're focusing in on the computer field, and you go to the gym. I know you socialize a lot with a lot of your friends, and you have a girlfriend you've been going out with for a couple of years. All that I saw, you know, and you go out a lot with her, and it's a really nice relationship that you both have, is something that was very impressive when you and I spoke, and you said, you know, that God was the most important thing in your life.
God is taking an amazing role in my life, and it's amazing the way I, it's amazing to people, the faith and the religious background that I have, because I mean, sometimes I'll be driving in my car and I'll just be so happy because I just got out of a meeting, they told me good news, and I'll just be talking to God, and people are in the streets will be looking at me like, this guy's crazy, who is this guy talking to? And I'm just always talking to God. God is using me in a unique way to help young people, and that is really fulfilling to me. It makes me really happy to serve the Lord like that.
And now, how do you balance all of that out? I know some of the things that you do, obviously you said that you pray a lot to God. I know that you were going to a group, a fraternity type style group that you've been getting formation from for the last year.
I belong to a fraternity that I just got into like about a year ago. And it's just a group of boys that meet up every Wednesday and go to Mass. We go to Mass. And then after Mass, we meet up and we just talk about a part of the Bible. We just talk about God. And it's amazing the impact that this group has had on me. They've helped me so much. I mean, they give me a direction in life. They help me stay strong. They help me get closer to God.
So you have role models there. And what ages are most of these people that go a part of this group?
They're all young. All those people in this group are between the ages of 19 to 28, 29.
So young men.
30, yeah, young men.
And they're all working in the professional world, is what you were telling
us.
So that's the way you see yourself going. And as you were telling me, that you're getting, you know, your career focused in on a computer field, and that's how right now you want to go forward, and you have these other young professionals that are mentoring you or ahead of you that you're looking to imitate. So that's a very impressive thing to see how, where you haven't had the parents in your life, you've had others that God has sent you to take on that role and to help you go forward in this mission that you have. It's very impressive. One thing I wanted to ask you about too is some of the other interests that you had, because you were telling me about some of the other things that you were interested in or some of the things you wanted to do. I know right now you're thinking about getting into biking, and you've done a lot of different things between you and your girlfriend. Tell us a little bit about those recreational activities you do, the fun things that you like to do with your friends.
One thing that I like to do, I do when I have a lot of spare time, is I try to focusing in the gym. I like to exercise a lot. I'm trying to get into a bike now, a bicycle that you pedal with your hands. So I can just go ride bike. Everyone's on a regular bike. I'll be on my own little hand. I think it's called a hand treadmill, or I don't know. It's a bike with three wheels that you pedal with your hands. I go to mass. I go to church on Sundays. I try to keep busy doing recreational fun things like that.
And one of the things you told me too, you mentioned, you know, going to mass on Sundays as part of your spiritual life. You know, that helps you with all the other aspects of your life. One of the things I know that you've done is you've gone to a retreat that you said helped you.
I like going to retreats. Like, I look at a retreat like a timeout, you know. We're all so in this rhythm of life, living. We never stop and pause and think, okay, Lord, and just pray. I look at retreats like in a way of, okay, this is my life. Let me pause it for a second. Leave everything in the hands of the Virgin Mary, the Lord. Go into the retreat. Just be silent, me there in God. Okay? God will just put all these things into my mind for me to think about. My life, where I'm at, where I want to be, what I'm doing. Okay? And then just come out and start living. So I look at a retreat like a pause. Put a pause in life and this time out. Be with God and then jump right back into it.
Reevaluate, find out what God wants you to do, and go back out there and do it.
Exactly.
That's great. One thing, Carlos, that I wanted to discuss with you a little bit is something that was brought up the other day. It's an issue of stem cell research on embryos, on aborted babies. And there's been a lot of advocates out there in the world, especially that I have seen in the media in the United States, that have been big proponents of having stem cell research done with these embryos, so that people such as yourself in wheelchairs can possibly have a cure. And, you know, I was impressed with your position on this, because so many others in wheelchairs have a different view. What is your feeling about that?
Willie, I don't want to walk again at the expense of a baby. Taking the life of aborted babies to help people that are my age to get up and walk again. That's just something that I'm totally against and I don't agree with. I mean, how can these people do that? I mean, I don't understand.
And here, you know, the church is stepping out there right now, and they're giving their position on the stem cell research, which is just how you stated it. You know, they're against it because of that very issue, that it's, you know, taking embryos and using them for stem cell research. The one thing that the church has said is that there's other research that's out there, and that there's opportunities to do stem cell research on animals. So that's something that is a very big issue right now in the world, in the biomedicine field. And it's a very strong statement for you to say that, you know, you'd rather stay, you know, confined to the wheelchair
for the rest of my life, then walk at the expense of an aborted baby.
We'd like to thank you for joining us on Builders of Hope. If you'd like to contact today's guest or myself, email us at our website at buildersofhope.com. We invite you to join us next week when our guest will be Mary Louise Curry. Mary Louise is a professional opera singer. She will speak to us about abstinence and the effects it has on one's life, emphasizing that it's never too late to embrace it.
Hello, I'm Father Raymond Goranski. Today on Faith Matters, I would like to talk about people who matter. Our Lord in the Beatitudes tells us very, very clearly that it's the poor in spirit, the meek and the lowly, who are going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. When his followers were debating among themselves as to who was the greatest of them all, our Lord Jesus took a little child and placed him in the midst of them and told them that if they wanted to be great, they had to become like this little child. Time and again, he made it clear that it is the lowly, the humble, who are the ones who know the kingdom of God. This insight and this teaching of our Lord's has been carried out very faithfully, especially in the Eastern Christian tradition, in the notion of being a fool for Christ. We can be fools for Christ because he himself was foolish in the eyes of the world. If we're wise and successful in the eyes of the world, we are likely in real spiritual danger. So we have to ask ourselves, as followers of Jesus, who and what really matters. If we are true followers of our Lord, that's going to stand the values of this world topsy-turvy. It may be that we have to fulfill a responsible position, but we are free to be little children in our hearts. We are free to be delirious with joy in our hearts, to be foolish above all fools, because we believe that the God-man Jesus Christ has died and risen from the dead, and that he calls us beyond all the riches and the power of this world to a freedom which only the poor, the lowly, the little ones have.